Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast has been sponsored by Audio Mango. Audio Mango is a portable podcast and audio recording studio driven right to your door, offering high-caliber audio plus on-location post-production. Head to www.audiomango.com to see more.
Hello and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with me, your host James Court.
And Sweet Tea.
Today we are joined by the lovely Ashley Rose Brisley, an actor, filmmaker, producer from London. She's making a movie at the moment. We're going to be asking her all about that. We're also going to be getting her involved with our stories, some juicy relationship advice on courting with James. All of that is coming right after this. Okay, welcome everybody, and hello Ashley, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, how are you?
Good, it's been a long time since we last saw each other.
I know, really, like, long time no see.
I don't remember, do you know when it was?
I want to say I do, and it was something really memorable, but it was probably something very... No, it must have been Court Crawl.
Probably one of the pub crawls that we do once a year.
I'm so buzzing for the August one.
You're coming to the August one.
Yeah, me too.
Beaut, that's what we like to hear. You've never met my co-host.
No, have you? But you guys have been together how long now?
2 years in July.
It is July.
2 years this month.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
When he remembers,
yeah, I
know. Love it.
It's kind of standard stereotypical male behaviour, yeah. There, isn't it?
You need like a little thing in your phone just to remind you a couple of days before. Yeah. Get a card, get a present. And then on the day you're like, wow, I'm so organised.
Where are you living at the moment? Are you in London?
No, I'm living in Sussex.
Cool.
And commuting 5 hours a day, living my best life.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, it's all working out.
So. When you commute, do you just chill or do you try and get loads of stuff done?
Okay, so before the whole like lockdown pandemic thing, I took a laptop with me and I was like one of those people that was like, yeah, I'm going to be really productive and do loads of stuff. Yeah. Then furlough happened and I've been back at work about a month now. Mm. And honestly, it's just like, I'm just like, oh my God. In the mornings, I tend to chill. And then in the evenings, I have Zoom meetings and stuff for my film and everything. So I have like a half and half at the moment. And then I think once my stamina builds back up, I will go into probably full productivity mode.
That sounds good. Yeah,
I've been
trying to learn Spanish on the train at the moment.
Been learning Mandarin.
Oh my god, that must be so hard.
Yeah. Well, I kind of have to for work, so I have like a little notebook and I'm trying. But the difficult thing is I don't have anyone there, obviously, like telling me whether I'm doing it right, whether I'm doing it wrong. So it is quite difficult, but it's a good challenge. It's fun.
Do you like use Duolingo or something?
I was using Duolingo, and then basically how they were pronouncing it was completely different to how actual Chinese people pronounced it. So I was like saying stuff and they were like,
what?
I don't understand what you're saying. So I had to like write it down and they were kind of like, oh, I think you mean this. And I was like, yeah, that. Like, I guess. So yeah, so I kind of gave up on that a little bit quicker.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
Do you work with a lot of Chinese people then?
Yeah, so all of my clients at work are Chinese.
Oh, wow. Cool.
I want to be able to communicate with them better rather than them trying to talk to me in broken English and stuff. So, yeah.
No, I get that. So, Tell us about what you're doing at the moment. You're making a... I saw you had a crowdfunder. You're making a movie at the moment.
Yes, I am. Yes. So this is my first... So this is my first time producing a film. I've made tons of short films and done theatre and stuff as an actor, like, as you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
Drama, drama, drama. And the opportunity came up for me to produce this film. And it was something that I've always kind of thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to produce a film one day and... you know, really take it from the beginning. Because as an actor, obviously you come in like when everything's almost done, you do your bit and then you go home. It's your involvement is almost so minor in the actual filmmaking process.
Yeah.
So this opportunity just kind of came and I just ran with it, took it. I had this idea for a film and I had an amazing new writer who had never done a screenplay or anything before. She was a poet. Mm. And I gave her this kind of synopsis of this idea and I was like, come with your kind of take on it.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think. And then she gave me this first draft and I was like, wow, this is actually a film. Like, cool. I can actually see this happening. So then we did, I did a edit of the script, went through, made a few changes. And I think it was purely because where she's naturally in tune with poetry and stuff, the dialogue needed to sound a bit more natural in terms of how people our age talk. So that was like a really easy change, but structurally and storyline wise she just kind of got this vision straight away. And the thing that I hadn't really fleshed out too much, I'd had the premise but not the individual characters and how they were going to interact with each other and all of that. And then as soon as I saw that on the page, I was like, wow, okay, I'm excited now to do this.
Nice.
So yeah, it was only two little edits. We did one read through after the first draft had been edited to see how it sounded, because obviously when you have a script it sounds totally different to when you're reading it.
You can
interpret it one way and you think, yeah, I've got this, it makes sense, and then you give it to someone else and they read it back to you and you're like, actually that doesn't sound at all how I visioned it. So yeah, I think we did two or three edits overall, which is really, really minimal in terms of film. And then yeah, it all just kind of flourished from there, really.
Nice. So what's it about?
So it's
I'm intrigued.
So it was inspired by, obviously, I personally felt that during COVID and filmmaking and stuff like that, the entertainment industry really tried to almost avoid the topic completely and go in this way of, we're going to distract people, we're going to find some form of escapism and stuff, which is great, kind of, I think, in a general sense. But I knew so many people like myself who had been affected by death, by grief, by loss, and there wasn't anything really talking about that. You know, normally if a character dies in a film, it's normally like an action film and you know, you either want them to die because they're the baddie, air quotes, or, you know, there's nothing really that deals with the topic of loss or grief, especially someone who's really, really close to you. So I wanted to make a film that could help people that have gone through this experience. So the inspiration behind it was the seven stages of grief and how it manifests both internally and externally.
Yeah.
So the idea was to have, we've got a 10 ensemble cast and seven of the kind of main ones, and then we've got the three that side characters for, you know, the juicy twists and turns and stuff. But they would represent each a stage of grief, because obviously everyone goes through this period at different process rates. No one's gonna have the same approach to dealing with this subject. So putting all of these seven different emotions into one fixed environment, how is that gonna translate, and how is it gonna make the group restructure itself in a way? So the idea is that the core kind of like leader, best friend of the group is removed from that situation. And suddenly all of their identities are now in question of their relationships with the other members of the group, etc. So it's all about character exploration. It's all about emotional drama.
My God.
So that was the whole kind of premise of it.
Cool.
And then from there, we just thought, right, okay, how can we do more than this than just a film about we didn't want it to be about COVID, we didn't want it to, you know, mention COVID or anything, but obviously given the time that we've been through, the idea was that it was to help people that are coming out of this stage, especially since things are opening up and, you know, lockdowns are being restricted and travel and all this stuff. for a lot of people, I think, coming out of this, it's almost like they're not ready to let go of the bubble. They've been very safe in lockdown.
That's right, yeah.
And there's a lot of anxieties and a lot of pressures and a lot of different things that are manifesting. So ideally, this film was just to explore that emotional state
more than anything. Wow. Nice. And did you have anything, any films or TV shows that inspired you in this at all?
Yeah, definitely. There was... both from a stylistic sense visually, but also from how the characters interacted and stuff. So we took, well, I know I did, I took inspiration from so many different elements of both British and American TV more than film.
Yeah.
And also performance wise. So things like Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, like the way that he can emote without speaking was really, really important.
It was great.
Fleabag, the way that death is dealt with in that program is really interesting. Things like The Society on Netflix, which has a really big ensemble cast, and again there's a lot of death and, you know, sad things that happen in that program that all manifested in different ways. Even visually, things like Riverdale, where they have this big ensemble cast and characters that die and stuff, and everyone has their own personification of things. So there was lots and lots of inspiration that was drawn upon. And we loved that kind of tone of, there's almost like a yellow happiness to it, which is quite contradicting given the topic. We didn't want to make this film depressing. We didn't want to make it, you know, sad. We wanted to give it almost like a hopeful, there is an end to this feeling and you can get through it.
I like that.
So yeah, it's, I mean, I tell people about it and they go, oh, it's a bit sad, isn't it?
You know, no, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, but the point is, it's about the person who it's, who it's affected, and you know how they go about life afterwards.
So your crowdfunder is finished. What was the result? Are you happy with?
Oh my god, so happy. So we said to be comfortably uncomfortable in terms of budget. We didn't want to have, you know, so much money we didn't know what to do with it, and then you end up spending it on crazy things and whatever. We wanted it to be a very, like, this is what we need, focus on, you know, good quality cameras and make sure the cinematography is beautiful, because we don't have, you know, action sequences and, you know, things blowing up and stuff. It visually, it needs to tell the story look stunning. So that was the focus for our budget, and keeping the locations very simple. So that was kind of the main thing. And then we said, right, okay, costumes obviously and things like that, we wanted to make it authentic and, you know, not just look like we're a bunch of students that have shoved on, you know, what your mum's got in the wardrobe kind of thing. So we had an initial budget of $6,000, and we said if we can stretch it and get, you know, a maximum of 10 for like festival seasons and taking this around the world, because obviously grief and death and losing someone, that's a universal story. It's not just British, it's not just American, it's everyone has dealt with some form of loss, even if it's not a physical death, everyone has been through some form of grief. The idea was to take this to international festivals and hopefully bring that kind of topic to a wider filmmaking audience. So, and we got just over $9,000.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
Yeah, we're really happy, really, really positive about the next stage. So it's all about locking the final budget in now, buying everything that we need, and then the button hits record in the beginning of August.
Nice.
Wow. And when do you estimate it to be ready by, do you think?
So we've got a premiere in Odeon Greenwich on October 16th, which is going to be really exciting, and then from there we're gonna hopefully just send it into as many obviously relevant festivals as possible, and just hopefully have a really nice year-long run of that. And
it's quite a tight turnaround if you're pressing record on August.
Yeah, it's a tight turnaround, but we wanted it to be ready for the next festival season coming up and make sure we're, you know, all the entries and deadlines are done and everything. And because it's quite a simple, air quotes, script and story, etc., we didn't need a lot of time to make this. We're doing it in just under a week, and we've structured it in a way so we can film one thing per day. And you know, it's all going to be like tightly wound up in a little bow. But we wanted to leave the ending kind of open as well. So it's not one of those films with some Hollywood fairy tale ending where at the end, everyone's fine and it's great. Because that's not realistic. You know, you don't go through a conversation with your friends about grief and then go, okay, thanks, I'm all better now, I'm not going to think about it. You know, this is something that's going to affect you for years down the line. You're still going to think about it at random points every day on someone's birthday and anniversary, etc. Which I know, James, you can probably
I've got experience in that.
So this is for everyone who's dealt with it. It's not just COVID, but we felt that in the current climate it was needed. There wasn't a film quite like this out there. So
that's really good. I mean, I want to see it. It's not even made yet.
No, I want to see
it. Do you have a like page or somewhere where people could keep in touch with what's going on?
We've got like pretty much every social media going. So I will give you, James, all the links and you can share them out. But cool. Bucky Official Film is like the main place to go.
Right.
And we've got it on Facebook, Instagram. We have a Twitter, but because of Twitter, the handle's slightly different.
Right.
No, we had that. We have that same
issue. Yeah. So annoying, isn't it?
So annoying.
But we do have a Spotify playlist as well, which we have each character has their own kind of music taste. So
cool.
For each emotion and like each stage, there's like music that replicates that. So it helps our audience, before they've even seen the film, understand the characters and kind of get drawn into that world, that you understand who they are and what journey they're on, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
really
I like that. A couple of shows done that. It's quite cool.
Yeah, and I'm playing one of the characters as well, so I'm really excited
about that. Very nice. Yeah. Cool, good. Have you finished casting everyone?
Yep, so we've got a 10-piece ensemble cast, and we've got one, I don't want to give too much away because obviously I want you guys to go and see it, but we've got one over 40s actor who's going to be a very influential part of the topic and the discussion.
Very nice. Ooh,
cool. So yeah, because we felt that, you know, obviously we want to make this for our kind of age group ideally, but we want them to then share it with their friends and their parents and kind of have a conversation that goes across generations, because again, that's something that's unique to each person. You know, older generations were kind of told not to deal with emotions and, you know, lock that away and, you know, be tough, be a man, whatever. And then obviously mental health awareness kind of spiked and it's grown and it's great and everyone's talking about it, but there's still that stigma of men don't cry, or boys have to be brave, or girls are emotional and stuff like that. And we want to kind of cancel that out. We want to make sure that everyone can talk about this. This is something, whether you're 80, 18, 8 years old, everyone's been affected. So that was kind of a big selling point for us for this film.
Good.
That's really cool.
So Bucky is the name of the film, and it's Bucky Official Film is where people can find you. And obviously we'll put everything in the description as well.
Yeah.
But sick, that sounds insane.
It does.
I'm really happy that you're doing stuff that you enjoy and that you're doing something really cool, which is sick. And I hope that it goes well at all the film festivals.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be some awards at the end. But
fingers crossed.
We'll
find out. We need to get on to my stories, if I can find my stories.
Juicy.
Oh, here we
go. Yeah, I know.
I'm excited.
We'll get to Courting with James in a bit, but I've got some other stories here that I think is quite interesting. We got so there was this man, okay, you ready for this one? For this one, right? Yep. So there's this man, he was
just a random man.
He took a police cruiser, so he commandeered a police cruiser, so he stole a police vehicle with a dog inside.
Wait, and was it his dog or the police dog?
It was a police dog with like a canine police dog.
Right, okay,
He was driving, and he claimed that his father is the sun.
What?
Like the sun, like the big hot boy in the sky.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, so a man...
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
Wait, so he's one of these people that believes in an energy force. Yes. Of, like, life is... Is his father?
I don't know. Well, let's read on, shall we? He told the police his father is the sun and his mother is the moon. And he's in jail after driving a police cruiser with a canine in a cage in the back.
Why was he doing that?
Please tell me this is not in England.
No, it's America. Yeah. It's always America.
Of course,
America.
It's always America. I just had to check.
Double check.
He went to the locked door of police headquarters in City Hall and via the intercom telling an officer about his mother and father. And the fact that they're the sun and the moon.
Has he been, you know, tested for mental health? Has he been tested for drugs? This can't be like
a normal day-to-day activity.
You have to sort of think that something has triggered that. Yeah. I really hope it's a bad trip that's gone horribly wrong. For anyone listening, don't do drugs. This is what happens.
He's been... charged with a lot. He's been charged with theft, illegal taunting of animals, receiving stolen property, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and driving while his license was suspended.
Basically, you're going away for a long time. Yeah. He's not going to see the sun. He's not going to see his dad for a long time.
No. Poor guy. Speaking of drugs, though, COVID is killing the cocaine market because people are smoking more weed.
Interesting.
Did we know that?
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know whether to like celebrate that.
I don't know how that link. Yeah, I know. How does that link in though? Like,
well, I guess people are buying more weed and buying less cocaine, so it's killing the.
Yeah,
cocaine
but why
industry.
Is that linked into COVID?
Well, it says
because isn't like cocaine is like imported, isn't it, or something? Oh, like, yeah. So I'm guessing that must be something they can't like
can't grab it as much.
Also, it's a drug for a lot of people, energetic on the go people take cocaine, like estate agents, stockbrokers, people like that. And because most people are working from home now,
they don't need it.
True. They just want to relax instead.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
In New York, COVID-19 has cut down on cocaine habits. Instead of disappearing into dingy club bathrooms, New York partygoers are staying home and smoking cannabis.
Interesting.
Mm. Is it legal in New York? Or is it just
New York it is, isn't it?
I think
is
it's it? Legal now in New York. Yeah.
I thought there was like a new law that had passed. I couldn't remember.
I don't know. Loads of different states, marijuana's legal now, but it's not every state yet, I don't
think. I find
think.
It so crazy that a country has like so many different laws.
Yeah,
like,
I do.
It's so it's mental.
It's because basically each state is like its own country.
It really is.
Yeah.
So it's but so that must difficult. Make it so confusing. Like if you drove...
You drive from one place to another and the rules are changed, you just wouldn't know, would you?
No.
Especially if you were like a tourist or something. You know, and you're not
aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could probably get in so much trouble. I think actually, fun story, I don't know. when I was a kid, I always used to worry about stuff like that. I was like, what if I break a law that I don't even know is a law?
Yeah.
And then you get in trouble for it. And then you're like, I didn't even know that was a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, literally.
Because some countries have like weird laws.
Mm-hmm.
Like
jaywalking. That's
an American one.
Oh
that's
my God, every time I
stupid.
Do that in the UK, I'm like, thank God I'm not in
the
States.
So fucking
stupid. Weird.
But then it's like you get in trouble for crossing the street incorrectly, but you can be a police officer and shoot a man and it's like totally fine. I'm like, where's
the line?
Yeah, what's that about?
So apparently they're saying that the reason people are doing cannabis instead of cocaine is because people can't party, there's no point using party drugs.
They're saving it for the party.
They're counting
I
cocaine
see.
As
so
a
basically,
party drug.
When everything is...
They're going to be stocked up
yeah,
on cocaine.
So much cocaine.
The cocaine industry is going to like skyrocket. The weed's going to be like, what happened?
But then again, to be honest, at parties, that's where I've smoked weed at parties. Like, is that not a party drug?
Yeah, no, it is a party drug, but I think cocaine's more of a party drug. You wouldn't do cocaine and just chill at home watching a movie, would you?
Yeah, I think
you can't chill.
Exactly.
I feel like cocaine's one of those things, again, I'm not speaking from experience here, but I feel like it's one of those ones where you have to be doing like a really fun rave type activity. Like you said, you could not be just Netflix and sniff. Like
Netflix and sniff. Oh my God, I love that.
Netflix and sniff. But no, so I think the moral of the story is just like...
Don't do drugs.
Don't do cocaine.
Yeah.
If you really need to, have some weed.
Crush a paracetamol. Have a dib dab.
Cannabis is the substance of choice when at home. That's what it says here.
Is it?
That's what it says here,
Very interesting.
Well, I suppose to a lot of people, they see it like cigarettes.
They do.
Like, it's just something...
I mean, I guess it's purer than cigarettes, isn't it? It's not going to hurt your lungs
as much. It's more natural,
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's probably better for you than cigarettes, to be honest.
Mm.
Especially those cigarettes. Well, those, like, you know the ready-made ones that you just get? Marlboro, whatever.
Oh, the clicker ones, and they like self-light. Is that
No. About? I mean, you know, you can roll your own cigarettes.
Yeah,
but then you can get ones in packets.
Yeah,
and
the actual cigarette.
Those ones seem way worse for you than just rolling your own. But I don't know. I don't smoke cigarettes.
Yeah,
so.
I don't smoke. I feel like this is like a redundant topic for me. No comment.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
No.
Wow.
I know.
That's quite a flex.
I know. I feel like I've never smoked, never done drugs. I have tried alcohol, but I don't drink it.
Yeah.
You
don't drink booze?
No.
What are you going to do in the pub, girl?
Waters.
Yeah.
Some Vimto squash.
It'd be Sam and Ashley in the corner having Coke.
Yeah.
No, not cocaine.
Well, Sam started drinking a bit now.
He has.
Yeah, a little bit.
It is normally me and Sam in the corner, though. Every girl.
So, NBC, the channel in the US, were about to start this new game show called Ultimate Slip and Slide.
Ooh, okay.
It was supposed to debut just before the Summer Olympics. And basically, I think it was some sort of reality show where... I'm going to try and find out, I think, where people go on this ultimate slip and slide. But anyway...
But what's the point? You just go down it. Like, how can you make that into a TV
Maybe
show?
Maybe there's different slip and slides.
Maybe there's, like, things... You know, like, on I'm Celebrity, like where they, like, throw stuff at them.
Things like that. But the premiere's been cancelled after an explosive diarrhea outbreak.
Oh, my God.
You can't be going down the slip and slide.
Could you imagine? Explosive diarrhea. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. So funny.
They'll really slide, wouldn't they?
Here we go.
Shit and slide.
Yeah, shit and slide.
Featuring two people per team, contestants compete in... Why has it gone on my photos? Mm. Anyway... Featuring two people per team, contestants compete in multiple games throughout each episode, including cornhole, body bowling, bocce ball, human pong, and more.
Why do none of those sound appealing? Yeah. Like, they sound like diseases.
Yeah. The last two teams will compete in the titular Ultimate Slip and Slide to see which duo will come out victorious.
Oh, my God.
But production on Ultimate Slip and Slide paused in early June after a crew member tested positive for Giardia, a parasitical intestinal infection, and dozens others reported issues. In total, 40 members of the crew developed diarrhea symptoms, and the show had to cease production.
So funny.
Reportedly, people passing out on set and sprinting to the porta potties.
Oh no!
Thing is, though, I could so imagine a show like that in the UK, and people would be like, "What's that about?" and then watch it.
It's
weird that everyone's like worrying about COVID on sets and at work and stuff like that. They were not prepared for diarrhea.
Yeah,
were they?
So funny.
That's a diarrhea outbreak. That's mad.
I know. But there was another one that will not diarrhea related. But
Lovely.
We've got a pet chimpanzee was shot dead after attacking the owner's
daughter.
How
did you transition from a shit and slide to now a got shot?
I don't know, but monkeys fling poop, don't they?
That was a very loose connection.
Yeah, very loose.
Yeah. But anyway, sheriff's deputy shot and killed a rampaging chimpanzee on a farm in Oregon on Sunday after the animal attacked its owners and forced them to take shelter in the basement. I don't get why people keep chimpanzees as pets.
Or any wild creature, for that matter.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Did you watch Tiger King over lockdown?
Yeah, of course.
That was insane. Who didn't?
It was just one of those things where, like, minute by minute, the story just got crazier and I'm thinking, what is the world coming to? Yeah. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic and this is what's trending. Like,
I imagine that was, what, March last year, was it?
Mm.
Doesn't that feel like a lifetime ago?
It does.
Like, this pandemic is... It started in 2020, but I feel like it was way before that. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's COVID-19. It started 2019 and now it's nearly... Well, it's not nearly 2022, but we're halfway through 2021.
So mad.
So, in this person's house, the owner is called...
Is this the chimpanzee?
The chimpanzee.
Okay, yeah. Not another story.
The owner is called Tamira Brugotti, and she called 911 and urged police to kill her 200-pound pet chimpanzee buck after it bit her.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
50-year-old daughters. 50-year-old daughter several times. That's got to be a typo.
No, but maybe the woman's really like 70 or
something.
Oh,
yeah, maybe she's really old. She said on the phone to the police, "I've locked myself in the basement with her. I can't get out to get my gun. You're going to have to do a headshot."
Wow, how specific.
Oh, she's 68.
Yeah.
So she must have had 18. Her daughter when she was 18.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She says she's never seen Buck act like this, and she urged police not to underestimate the animal. Send more than one deputy because the ape, if the ape gets a drop on him, he's gone too. He has got to be put down.
This is so weird.
But
what
I remember.
Story?
These apes go mad. You should never have apes as pets. There was this one woman, it was famous because she went on Oprah. She lives next door to
you have
this...
an ape. You have yeah. an ape.
There was this chimpanzee that was like in movies. He was called Travis. Right, and this woman lived next door to the person that owned the chimpanzee, and once she went over there to knock on the door, and the chimpanzee jumped on her and literally ripped her face to pieces to the point where you couldn't recognize her face anymore. It was like huge. And she went on Oprah and did a face reveal where she was like, "I'm going to show everyone my horribly disfigured face
that
from this chimpanzee."
Horrendous.
Yeah, and she ended up getting a face transplant. So you know when I have no idea how they do those things. It's amazing
no
medical
idea.
Science. But and now she's got like a new face. I mean, it doesn't look like
her, but
but it's interesting.
Can you imagine being Oprah though and having to like act not shocked?
Yeah, when
like,
you see that.
You're like, okay.
You look really nice.
So bring back
like what you've done with your hair today.
Yeah. Bring back Harry and Meghan, please. But so don't own a chimpanzee. So don't take cocaine. Don't own a chimpanzee.
I hope everyone's taking our advice.
Yeah.
Drugs,
write this down.
No, wild animals not suitable for home use.
Yeah.
Apparently, chimpanzees are prohibited under state law, though the law includes some other clause which permits it, so it's not illegal. That doesn't make any sense.
It's America.
Yeah.
I feel like all of these stories is just proving why America are completely nuts.
Yeah. Oh, it mentions the woman here. The most famous incident was a male chimp mauled its owner and she lost her hands and face in the attack and received an extremely rare face transplant.
Is there a picture of her?
I can find you a picture and we can post it on the story.
Before and after.
I think we'll need like a little trigger warning if we post that on the story.
Yeah, we will do it.
Warning, disfigured face.
So this is what she looks like with the face transplant.
Oh okay. My gosh.
Wow.
So you... and I believe I'll find a picture with... I can't find a picture right now with her without the face transplant. But we're going to move on to Courting with James. So we're going to get onto some juicy relationship stories.
I love this. This is what I'm here for.
This is the best stuff. So cue the jingle. Thanks, as usual, to Sam for that lovely jingle that he makes us.
So we're moving on now from feeling like you're dying by being mortared alive.
Just some classic relationships.
We're just getting
stuff.
More and more morbid, aren't we?
Yeah, we need to boost it up a bit.
No, I think this one's juicy, but less morbid than chimpanzee attack.
Less Leonardo DiCaprio in, you know...
Oh, in Revenant.
Yeah,
one absolute
Revenant.
Movie.
Haven't seen it.
He gets raped by a bear in that one.
Fuck
you
it
haven't
out.
Seen The Revenant? Oh,
no.
My goodness. Right,
that's
go
a good movie.
Yeah, go and watch it.
Jesus.
It's what you got an Oscar for.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Finally.
Am I the arsehole for not letting my best friend have her wedding on my property after I was uninvited?
Wait, say that again.
What?
So, am I the arsehole for not letting my best friend have her wedding on my property after I was uninvited.
Well, no.
That's what I heard, and I was like, surely not. That cannot be real. That's why I needed you to repeat it, because I'm like, is
no.
that a thing?
Like, if she's uninvited, then
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're not coming to my wedding, but can I use your backyard, please?
Can I still
like,
have it in your
what
house?
The fuck? And it's the best friend. Why do people make a post about this? Like, it's so obvious that they're
also,
not the arsehole.
Why did she not invite the best friend to the wedding?
That's what we're going to find out. Well, ooh. Uninvited, so she was invited, at first, and it's now been uninvited.
Please tell me this is because of like a COVID restriction thing or something and not...
Let's find out.
Let's hope.
One of my best friends, Carla... okay, so this guy is a man.
Oh, okay.
And one of my best friends, Carla, woman, is getting married soon. It's only meant to be a small backyard type of wedding, but they've been planning it for a few months now, and originally it was supposed to be on my property. They wanted it because it's private, has lots of open space for the reception, a nice view, and the house could be used for them to get ready and stuff.
That sounds fair enough.
Of course, I said yes. She and her fiancé, Rick, were very happy. The thing is, Carla and I do have a history. We went out on and off in college, but decided to stay friends. Then I met my wife. We got married. Carla met Rick, and now here they are. So he's already got a wife.
Yeah.
I think that is so petty.
Yeah, like, I know.
It sounds almost like the husband has gone, yeah, no.
Yeah,
like,
literally, doesn't it?
So now, my wife knows I went out with Carla back in college, and she doesn't care.
Yeah, sensible woman with a brain. Yeah.
Carla said, well, surely she's be like, well, I'm the wife.
Yeah, so. Who's
you're
one?
Not still together, so.
Yeah.
Carla still went to our wedding and everything. Oh, because Carla went to theirs.
Oh, that
that's
would
nice.
Really annoy me then. I'd be like, yeah, bitch.
I never knew if Rick was told or not. It's not my relationship, therefore not my business to say anything,
again,
so I never
fair.
Did. Rick found out recently, and not in the best way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Not sure how, but from what I heard from friends is that one mutual friend told him, no idea why, we used to date. Not only that, but apparently Carla said a couple years ago she was still in love with me when she was already dating Rick.
Fucking hell.
Maybe what? Don't mention that.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Oh, but can I use your backyard?
Yeah. Don't have actual confirmation if that's exactly what was told. All Carla's told me is that Rick was told about our past and he's angry at her for never saying anything.
But why do you have to, like, specify that if it's not relevant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like... Surely, how did it not come up though? Like when you're having a conversation about like exes or like previous
so she's hidden that.
You know my best friend. Yeah, we used to shag. Yeah. Like,
to be fair, I definitely would have at least mentioned.
Oh yeah, you would have brought it up
when they were nailing down the venue.
Yes,
I would have at least mentioned.
Oh, by the way, that house we shagged in there.
Yeah,
great bathroom. Yeah.
The bed is comfortable.
Yeah. So it became quite a drama and I didn't hear from her for over a month until now. She told me they've got to going to couples counselling and that wedding is still on.
Wait,
what?
No,
the
I'm sorry. Okay.
You're having couple counselling before your wedding.
You postponed the wedding,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
Number one, why do you need to go to couple counselling for that? I mean, that is a
ridiculous.
Red flag. That is like your husband is a jealous freak
who
needs to calm down. Red flag number one. Number two, why go to couples counselling at all? Like, about that.
You just
don't need to.
And still get married.
And still get married.
What,
like,
the fuck?
What the hell?
So, she told me they're going to couples counselling if the wedding is still on. But Rick requested that I not attend. It sucks, but I totally get why he wouldn't be comfortable. Then I asked the obvious question.
I feel like he's being too understanding.
Yeah. Then I asked the obvious question, where are they going to hold the wedding then? To my surprise, she said they still want it at our place.
So wait, they're just going to have to sit in here, watch Netflix all night whilst they're getting married in their backyard.
Yeah. It would be like, you know, when in American programs they have house parties and the parents are just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
There we go. Rick said, and in my mind, I'm going, he doesn't want the guy who dated his fiance years ago at the wedding, but still wants the wedding at his house. What is Rick doing thinking that?
Yeah.
Again, like, that's just so strange.
Yeah.
So strange.
My wife and I are expected to just not be at our home that weekend, and I told Carla no. They're going to have to find someplace else since we're not going to simply leave our home to them for the weekend.
Yeah, I would feel so uncomfortable. Like, even if it's like my best friend leaving like that many guests in your house and you're not there.
Yeah.
It's totally different if you're there and
I
can
supervise.
I can't
believe they suggested that.
Yeah.
It's just like... Every way you spin this is just ridiculous.
Not only for safety reasons, but it just doesn't make sense. Rick doesn't want me around because he's not comfortable, but is comfortable enough to have their wedding at my house.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
They really want their wedding here, though, and because of that, I've been bugged by not only her, but also Rick and some friends who think I'm being a petty arsehole for not letting them have the wedding here anymore.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I think Rick is the petty arsehole.
I think Rick is the arsehole here. Yeah.
And I also think Carla's a bit...
weird.
Yeah, deluded. She'd
be like, yeah, being a bit manipulative, isn't
yeah.
she?
It just doesn't make sense at all to have to leave our own place for a wedding we're no longer welcome to and leaving our home totally vulnerable.
Yeah, like yeah. Rick could literally burn it down.
Yeah, and all the guests could just steal stuff.
Yep.
I'd be so uncomfortable. I don't think he's
going to. What are
they going
to do? Are they just going to show up on the wedding day? Is that what's now going to happen?
Don't know.
We need an update.
Yeah.
His name's not Rick. What's his name?
He didn't give his name.
Fuck.
But
what
so,
an arsehole.
Yeah, so we're giving him a not the arsehole.
Has he been voted not the arsehole?
Yes, he has been voted. Great,
good. Good. What did other commenters say out of curiosity?
Let me go and find it again. Here I am.
I would really question my friendship with Carla at this point. Yeah. I'd kind of be like, yeah, you've pushed a line, and
I feel like Carla's just causing trouble. Like, why would she have not told her to be husband beforehand?
Someone's like, put a good spin on this.
Go on. Oh.
They've said Rick doesn't want to get married anymore, but doesn't want to be the bad guy breaking up with his fiance, so he's put her in an impossible position so he can get the sympathy when they split up.
That is like mind game 101.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That's true. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, someone said.
I feel like maybe he's just an absolute cheapskate and it's like, we had a free venue.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get this back. He's not willing to pay like 10 grand for a location. That's
if he knows he's going to break up with her, yeah.
Yeah. Someone said, what a weird request. Do you typically host wedding receptions on your property? He can go pay for a venue if he's going to act like that, if they even end up getting married. And the original poster replied and said, only hosted a wedding once for my sister a couple years ago.
Yeah, see, I think for friends and family, if you've got the space, it makes sense, but... yeah, not necessarily.
Very strange. We've not got an update, but I'm just going to say he's not the arsehole for this one.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it when they don't have updates, because did the wedding still happen? Are they still together?
Oh,
what's going on?
So many questions.
Someone said, Rick is sick if he thinks A, his fiance never dated anyone before him. B, she didn't stay friends with old boyfriend. C, he can get someone's home as a wedding venue while not allowing the owners to attend the wedding.
Yeah, what the fuck? He's so wrong in the head.
Yeah, someone put... So the guy said, Rick believes it's the least I can do after everything. And everyone's just like, what am I missing? What did you do? He didn't do anything wrong.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So weird.
So the one that I wanted your guys' opinion, you know,
when
we
you went, like that.
Like, oh, I'll get your guys' opinion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is 2 of 4, correct?
Two of three, okay. I think. Ooh. So
we're at the halfway point.
Yeah. Halfway point.
Am I the arsehole? My classmate saved goldfish by releasing them into the ocean. I called her a dumbass.
Sorry.
So I saw...
Wait, is this an eight-year-old post in this?
Is he...
questioning if he's an arsehole because he called her a dumbass.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, in front of people. But the thing is,
I watched
a TikTok that went viral of these, you know, you get those TikTok. Do you use TikTok?
Yeah, 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 of course.
You know, you get those TikToks where people go, this is your sign to blah, 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 and then it shows them doing something. Like, this is your sign to go to the cinema and see blah, blah, blah. And it's like videos of them getting popcorn and shit. Someone did a video like, this is your sign to go and save some fish from enslavement. And they went to a fair and they bought goldfish from the little bags at the fair and just released them into the ocean. But what they've done is 100 times worse because goldfish are not saltwater fish, so they won't survive in the water. What's worse is that the saltwater will clog up their gills and lungs and they will die extremely painfully.
But also, they've just created a supply and demand for the people at the fair selling the fish. Because
they've bought the fish.
We've run out of fish, let's go and buy some more. So you've completely been counterproductive. It's like those people that buy like turtles and things from those weird Chinese, like, you know, crazy food market things and then put them back in the ocean. All they're going to do is then buy more of them.
Yeah, exactly. They should just steal them.
It's just like...
and save them.
Oh, that's horrible.
But let's see if they did the same thing. It sounds like they did.
What do you mean?
Oh, my God. Maybe it's the same people. My classmate recently made a TikTok. And she showed a group of people at lunchtime. It maybe it's the same people that I saw.
As if you've done that twice now, where you've explained something and then it's come up.
Wait, what? Explain that again.
So the TikTok you just explained. Apparently, that's what they're talking about. What you just literally.
So it's my classmate. He didn't know. He didn't read it. Recently made a TikTok and she showed a group of people at lunchtime.
Is this the goldfish girl?
It may be.
She's made a TikTok about saving goldfish.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They were next to our table, so I overheard the girl say, "Hey, look at my TikTok I made. Come check it out." And in it, she explains how she rescued goldfish from the pet store and release them into the ocean so they can live free.
Wow, yeah, she is a dumbass.
I don't
understand why anyone would be an arsehole for calling someone a dumbass. Yeah.
Like, dumbass. Like that. Yeah.
I was horrified upon hearing this. I love fish and have several aquariums, so I'm fairly knowledgeable on them. I walk over and ask her to show me the video and I facepalm. She asked me why and I said, "You realise you're actually a dumbass, right? This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen." Her friend says, "Well, that's just rude. Why would you say that? Because she cares." To which I had to explain that goldfish are freshwater fish. They can't survive the ocean because it's salt water. So all of those goldfish were dead in minutes. They basically choked to death as salt filled up their gills. Lastly, you never release animals into the world. There are goldfish that are destroying our rivers and lakes because of dumbasses like her. They say that I'm a bully and walk away. I led to get called into the principal's office, who told me I was expected to apologise. And I said,
oh
no,
my God.
I stand by what I said.
School went. Like, oh, yeah, she's not re-educated in this. We're going to have to teach her a few
just
things.
Educate her, yeah.
Yeah, geez. Like, I understand, you know, you want to do a nice thing and save the animals, but do your research, man.
Yeah, you fucking killed them.
Yeah, he said, fuck ignorant people who destroy the environment. My parents were called over and I got sent home. My parents are pissed and I refuse to apologise. I might get suspended.
Oh,
is
my
that
God.
A joke? What? Is, no.
What?
For calling her a dumbass. He could have said so much worse.
He could have called her a... You
literally.
Know.
Sorry, in America and UK, the school system is pretty fucked.
Fucked, yeah.
Particularly in secondary schools. What I used to hate in secondary school was you would get these bullies that would, like, hurt kids all the time. No teachers would do anything. The second the bully person fights back... Then they
you're
start
in trouble.
Punishment.
Do you remember?
In trouble.
Do you remember the time that you threw a tennis racket during that tennis lesson after punching?
Yeah, I smacked Alex Taylor in the face. He was bullying me. T.
What a flex.
Yeah, I know.
I've never laughed so hard.
I remember Owen. I was playing tennis with Owen at the time, and he was just across. And after I still recognised, I just remember seeing his gobsmacked face.
Was it a good punch? Was it good?
No,
punch?
No, oh, it wasn't great.
It was the worst punch ever. I think that's why I was laughing.
It wasn't the greatest punch, but he did melodramatic it a little bit, and he went and sat down. At
it
the
was
side
very
of the
much
move,
of like a footballer's collapse kind
of. Oh, as if.
So. Which meant I could milk it a bit more and be like, yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Shakes
that.
His knuckle out.
Shakes
like.
His knuckle.
But I went and sat in the PE changing rooms and Lewis Meppen came and sat down and just gave me his carrot sticks. And was like,
that's
you're
so
right.
Cute. I remember... Blast from the past. I remember, again, this is probably a bit TMI and gross, you can cut this out. But I remember you had a spot once and it... popped on its own and I laughed.
Oh,
and
God.
Do you remember Mitch was like, "You're so mean and that's so bullying."
No, I don't remember this at all.
I remember it was in an IT lesson and then I just heard this like pop sound and you were like bleeding, obviously.
Jesus, that must have been a quiet lesson if you heard that. Jesus.
Fucking hell, you're pop. I've never heard of a spot to pop on its own.
That's why I was like, what the
fuck just happened?
It was so alive.
Fun. Oh my God.
Yeah, and I got really told off by the friend that was sat next to us for laughing at this spontaneous
spot.
That's so funny. Well, acne, and James was bloody clueless.
Acne is a problem at school, guys.
Yeah, it is.
We all went through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Except the lucky ones.
Yeah.
Burning hell. Yeah. But no, I don't remember that at all.
Oh,
that's so funny.
I feel like Jesus that's just Christ. One of those things that's been imprinted in my memory now forever.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know. Good memories from school, eh?
Hey.
But yeah, bullies suck. But anyway, this person is not the arsehole, people
no,
say.
Not the arsehole.
You are 100% right on both counts. That would have been a pretty awful death for the goldfish. And yeah, releasing captive bred animals into the wild usually either results in that animal dying or local flora and fauna suddenly having to compete with an invasive species. So she should have been called a dumbass. I completely agree.
And the school should have educated her. Like, they definitely shouldn't suspend a guy for not apologising for being right. Like,
yeah.
So this last one is very girl oriented. So
I really hope they are the arsehole now, because
we haven't had one yet.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, yeah, I'm going to try and find one where they've been
Wait,
voted.
I want to know the girl oriented.
Yeah, come on. What
Basically,
is it?
The girl oriented one was
read it out.
This guy. Okay,
don't paraphrase.
All right, I'll read it out.
We can discuss while you find.
Very true.
I'll read it out really quickly. It's, am I the arsehole for telling my wife the lock on my daughter's door does not get removed till my brother-in-law and his daughters are out of the house? Basically, this guy has offered for his brother-in-law and his daughters to stay at the house while they've got nowhere to stay.
So I'm guessing it's the wife's brother
Yeah. And this brother-in-law's daughters keeps going into his daughter's room, nicking all her makeup. And she bought this really expensive, like, matte makeup set or something. Mm. And apparently they mixed all the colours.
Oh, my God.
Completely ruined it. And so he's put a lock on the daughter's door, quite rightly.
Yeah.
And now they've all kicked off and were like, sisters should share and stuff. And
sisters should not be bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Like... bitches get stitches. But, yeah, so that was that one. And I figured, have you guys had...
Well, I have a lock on my door for the same reason.
You do, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Have you been victim to many makeup palettes? Yeah, I have. Yeah, see, as an only child, I feel very blessed not to have had to deal with this. But also I feel like if it was me, I'd be like, yeah, you have to pay for a new one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you break it, you buy it.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally reasonable. If it's like they accidentally broke something,
yeah,
then I wouldn't be necessarily like, you have to pay for it. But if it's like, that is a very intentional... deceiving little shit. then 100% they need to be told A, that's wrong and not to do it again, and B, you pay the consequences for your actions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's bad parenting on the wife and brother-in-law.
I agree.
Personally. So, yes. Yeah. Not the arsehole.
Good.
No, yeah, not the arsehole.
Well, I've got one where they were voted arsehole.
Really? Oh. Got one then.
Yeah. Am I the arsehole if I ask my cousin to change her wedding date because it's too close to mine? Right, so she said, okay. My fiancé and I got engaged in August 2020.
I was going to say, the date of when this happened is going to be key to this story.
So, fiancé and I got engaged in August 2020 and have been planning a big wedding for August 2022. So, next August.
Next August,
yeah. I feel like that's a good timeline. Like, yeah, two years is a good timeline. I don't like rushed engagements, personally. I think you should enjoy that period before you're married and then... have like a really nice wedding rather than trying to...
Because you probably like re-honeymoon phrase, don't you? Like when you get engaged, you probably go through that again. What?
You said honeymoon phrase. Did I? Honeymoon phase.
Phase.
I knew what you meant.
So she said, my cousin met a guy and got engaged after a month of meeting and tried to plan a wedding for this summer just 3 months later.
3 months is quite a... distance apart. Yeah. I thought you were going to say like a week or something.
Well, I think they change it and that's the problem.
Oh, okay.
She quickly learned how much goes into planning a wedding and decided to postpone it till next year, although she spelt postpone wrong and put postbone.
Postpone.
She decided to postpone it till next year. She has just now announced the date and it's 34 days before our wedding.
Before.
Oh, gosh, before.
Mm, it upsets me because I feel like it takes away from our wedding. Your wedding a month later. Family guests will have to get excited for, plan gifts for, find outfits for, find dates for, travel for, book time off for, two weddings within a two-month period. It might not be the end of the world, but I feel like it will overshadow our wedding. And we've been so excited to have a big wedding and all the families there for it. My cousin has a long history of mental illness and recently addiction. Why does that matter?
I think maybe because it's like, she's saying that it's like a shotgun decision of like, she's met someone and gone, oh my God, I'm in love. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna marry him. And they're probably going to get divorced in like 6 months.
She can be extremely impulsive and attention seeking. And I'm worried just bringing up that I'm upset about it will bring down a massive shitstorm of emotion from her. We've already paid all the deposits for venue and services for our date. Am I an arsehole?
Now, then realistically, should it matter? Because if it's your wedding and you're going to have a good time, you're getting married, it's about you anyway. Why does it matter if somebody's getting married before you?
I feel like there's so many layers to this thing that could be unpicked. I feel like the other cases, it was very like black and white of like, they're definitely not an arsehole, the other person is.
Yeah.
I feel like in some respects, she's been an arsehole about it, but I understand why she would feel like that, given that obviously her cousin hasn't been with this guy very long. They've obviously put a lot of work into it and it's kind of like... they're getting married first. Mm. I think that's probably what's ticked her off more than if they got after.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think it's a case of all your family would know that you're like in a stable relationship, you know, you've really thought this through. I think they're going to be more excited for your wedding.
Yeah.
And if you've already put all the money down and everything, like, who cares?
Like, yeah, not being funny, she's probably the only one that's comparing the weddings. Yes. Nobody else probably gives a shit.
And also, there's the thing called wedding season for a reason. And it's the season where everyone gets married. Like, I think it's quite normal for guests to go to more than one wedding.
In
a month. Okay, but why have people said she's the arsehole? Maybe it's a different reason.
Well, the first person said, the top comment was, you're the arsehole. It is over a month difference. If people have to leave more than a month either side of your wedding, that's 3 months, quarter of the year, blocked off because of your need to feel utterly special. When I read the title, I was expecting it to be the same weekend or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's a very good point.
Or like the next day or something. Yeah. But yeah, I do think a month's difference.
I really don't think it's so minor.
I wouldn't say she's being an arsehole. I think she's just being a bit
bridezillery.
Just a bit dramatic and petty. Just let it go.
It's over a month away from your wedding. Don't be a bridezilla over this.
It is a bit pathetic, isn't it?
It's like people just haven't grown up out of primary school.
Mm. I know.
It's like those people that like to like just make their event go on for as long as possible. That's literally what she's being like, isn't she? Because she wants this wedding. But then surely it's better than being first, because then everyone can continue to celebrate it afterwards. Yeah. It's not like hers is going to be afterwards.
And also they can be like, her wedding will obviously be remembered more because it was last. And also, if you've had like 2 years to plan this, it's obviously going to be a lot better wedding than someone who's planned
also
it.
Also, to be fair, summer is a popular time to get married.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, wedding season, hello. Yeah. Everyone's used to this.
Someone commented, so how many days apart from your wedding date is appropriate? And someone sarcastically replied,
asking for a friend.
The standard rule is 3 years unless they get pregnant, and then the cousin has to wait until the child enters preschool.
Fuck's sake.
Well, there are our relationship stories for today. We did quite a few. We busted through them. But we're coming to the end of the podcast now. So thank you so much
thank
for coming on.
Thank you so much for having
Ashley.
Me.
Lovely to meet you.
Yes.
Yes. And remind us where we can find your film.
Bucky
online.
Official Film.
Perfect. And we'll put all of that in the description.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, please keep in touch with us at Court Case Podcast on Instagram. And we hope you had a good time.
I had a brilliant time. There's going to be a part two coming up. Oh, yeah. We need updates on these
stories. My God, yes. Definitely. We'll have a part two once it's released and to find out how it went.
Yes.
There we go.
Perfect. We can't wait to see you then.
Amazing.
But awesome. And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.